Each week, we try to go inside Chicago's fast-growing tech community to see what the next big thing might be. This week, we're featuring Avant co-founder John Sun. I'm Scott Catoon, and it's time to start talking about tomorrow's business today. Thank you, John, for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, Scott.
So before we get into your journey to the top of the tech startup scene, for the very few people who listen to this show and don't know who Avant is, why don't you give us a little sit rep on what Avant is?
Yeah, definitely. So Avant is a local Chicago-based online lender. Basically, we lend money to people. And our mission is really to make it easier and cheaper for people to borrow money around the world. Today, we're based in Chicago with 850 employees. We started back in early 2012. And so far, we've served over 380,000 customers in three different countries and lent over $2.8 billion. So the idea is really to provide a much simpler experience for customers and to really make them have the ability to get credit at much lower rates than they would be able to from traditional lenders or banks or downstream payday lenders.
So you guys are growing very slowly then. Yeah. So in case people aren't familiar with this, you guys have a new hashtag that's affixed to every tweet about you, and that is hashtag unicorn. You are now one of the unicorns of Chicago, which is an amazing, amazing accomplishment.
Thank you.
So what I thought we would talk about today, this is a very unique opportunity for me because not only are you a co-founder of a massive, massively successful company in Chicago, but you also went through Y Combinator, which I think is probably the number one accelerator, tech startup accelerator in the country, in my opinion, probably even the world. And you went through that. And even more importantly, for the people who listen to this show, you transitioned your company with your co-founders and added new co-founders as you kind of went through Y Combinator, shaped what you were doing, shifted gears, kind of regrouped afterward, and then launched. It wasn't like, hey, I got this idea. I applied to Y Combinator. They were like, oh, my God, you're so good. We got investors. We launched. And next thing you know, we're a $2 billion company. There was a lot of pivots and a lot of opportunities for things to either go the wrong way or to go the way that they did, which is obviously very fortunate. So I thought it'd be interesting. Why don't you talk to us a little bit about your first co-founder, Paul, right?
Yep.
And where you guys kind of met and how what was the original startup idea, that original we're gonna not take good jobs and we're going to do something on our own?
Yeah, definitely. So to go back, a tiny – I know you said start with Paul, but to go back even a tiny bit before the Y Combinator startup. So I started my career at this company, also a Chicago-based company started by Al Goldstein, who's my co-founder at Avant, called Unova Financial. And Unova Financial was an online short-term payday lender. And I started my career there basically running analytics for Unova. And I was an intern for Al my sophomore year in college back in 2005 when Unova first really got started. And I brought Paul, who was a good family friend of mine since I was nine, to also be an intern at Unova his sophomore year in 2007, 2008. And that's kind of our first professional experience together. And we worked at Unova until early 2011 when we really felt that there was more opportunities to explore outside of the kind of corporate Unova online lending space.
Sure.
And that's when we'd come up with the idea for our company, DebtEye. And DebtEye was an online personal financial management software. It's basically like a Mint.com or a Credit Karma,
yep.
Except it generates very real, actionable results to tell you how to get out of credit card debt, and more importantly, to simplify the process of you negotiating with your creditors for better terms, lower rates, longer return payment, etc., to really help our customers who were mostly in credit card debt over their heads to figure out a way to quickly get over that situation.
And so when you had that idea and you started kind of developing the concept and everything, we actually talked about this before we came on the show. A lot of startups and a lot of entrepreneurs, you have to be bullheaded. You have to be a little bit crazy. I tell my mom all the time, I run startups and I have to tell her I'm a little crazy. You have to be.
I think we are.
Yeah. I mean, you have to be crazy to leap off the edge and just like say, the hell with it. I'm just going to try to see how far I can run this. However, there also has to be an ability to learn. And the ability to accept that maybe my idea isn't the best idea and maybe a little tweak here and there, or maybe giving, more responsibility to my co-founders and my partners to try to, show me the way, so to speak, is super important to the success story. And I think that's where, you ended up taking DebtEye to Y Combinator, right? That application process is not very easy. What do they take, less than 1% or something crazy like that?
Yeah, much less than 1%. It's hard to get into.
It was 2008, right?
This was 2000 and 2011 when we had the
plan. Oh, okay, 11. Oh, yeah.
So 2011.
Yeah, okay.
By then, kind of a going concern already.
Yeah, okay. So walk us through a little bit, like, what, for those who haven't been to Y Combinator, which are very few, obviously, as we just mentioned, what is that experience like? What did you learn about yourselves, for starters,
yeah,
and about your company as you went through the Y Combinator program?
Yeah, absolutely. So the Y Combinator program, again, for people who don't know, is a accelerator program based in Mountain View, California. It was started by this guy, Paul Graham, who is a very famous software developer, but also very famous for his books and essays on startup and startup culture. Very smart guy, kind of a cult figure in the startup space. So I was obviously very excited to be able to work with him and be a part of the Y Combinator program in 2011. And, you know, the program itself was great. You basically had access to some of the biggest tech luminaries in the Valley, either as a part of their weekly speaker series and dinner, or as people you can actually go to for, you know, very real business advice, right? And their mode of thinking, which I think a lot of entrepreneurs really share, is very direct and straightforward. It's very much about identify problem Y and solve problem Y, and identify problem X and solve problem X, and not so much about kind of future strategy and vision and all of that stuff. It was very much just build something people want, get users, repeat.
Yep.
As far as, you know, what I really learned going through that program, I think that way of thinking is also obviously one of the things that I took away from it. But also, YC had kind of this kind of unique at the time, but now less so idea about failing, right? Yeah. Failing is very much kind of an accepted and celebrated part of the Y Combinator experience. And you're very much encouraged to be brutally honest with yourself on what is and isn't working, and really take the things that aren't working and be able to iterate and change those, even if it means changing some critical part of your initial idea or your business strategy.
What was that moment that you knew that there had to be some changes with DeadEye, or at least that you knew that we could do better?
Yeah, so I think the pivotal moment was maybe, you know, 12, 13, 14 months into DeadEye, when we're maybe about 3 to 4 months away from running out of money. At the time, we had about 20,000 users, and we're growing at a rate of, you know, flat to less than a 0.25% week over week, which is just not a sustainable growth rate for a company with our business model and our size. And at first, we really tried testing a lot of the different strategies that we'd employed to acquire customers and did a lot of A-B testing, but it very quickly became apparent we weren't going to A-B test our way out of this. And that was when I kind of met back up with Al, who's been a long-term mentor since my Innova days, and really talked through some of the problems with him. And together, we kind of came up with that is a personal financial management software company, but ultimately the goal is to really help people access credit and help people get out of debt, right? And unfortunately, DeadEye as a product was just not the right solution to that problem. And that's partly what generated this idea of Avant. How do we actually get people financial stability? The biggest problem is access to credit, access to cheap credit that doesn't put you in a cycle of debt, that really allows you to kind of have financial liquidity during the downtimes in your life and be able to kind of exercise that liquidity to help you get through tough times.
You know, it's interesting. Last week we had on Ravin Gandhi, who is he's been, you know, venture capital and a bunch of stuff. He owns GMM, non-stick coding, you know, very successful guy. And we talked about the pain points that people have when you're trying to solve a problem. And one of the things we identified is I'm stealing this from him. He said, you know, is this an ibuprofen Tylenol solution or is this like a serious injury and it's, you know, it's a real problem. And I look at this as a learning moment for you. It's a learning moment, hopefully, for this audience that DeadEye could solve a problem for a select number of people, but it was more of an annoyance or some sort of thing that you could help them, but only incrementally so, right? Because I can only give you the information, but I can't actually get you out of the trouble. And ultimately, what ends up happening is the growth rate starts to drop and you can't be sustainable, as you mentioned, because there's just not enough people who can do they're not solving the problem for them. The real problem the market told you was we want credit. That's the problem. We need money. And so by going back and stopping and looking at what you were doing and saying, all right, let's, you know, take what we learned from the experiential standpoint of this, take what we learned about, you know, scaling a business, but how do we provide our market that we are now introduced to with something that we know that they want and they need? And that's essentially what you guys did when you brought Alan and you know, started Avant, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
That's so, I mean, I feel like I wish there was a whole bunch of startups literally sitting in here. These entrepreneurs that I've met with this past week that all have the same problem. They love what they're in love with it. They're too much in love with it, and they don't realize sometimes that the market will tell you ultimately. Ultimately, the judge is the market. It's not the guys at the accelerator. It's not your peers. It's the market that will tell you what way you're going to go. What do you think would be the biggest takeaway you got from going through an accelerator? It doesn't have to just be Y Combinator, but the big takeaway about how to scale a company, how to grow a company.
Yeah, I think the biggest takeaway, and I think a lot of people have really said this before, is to listen to your customers and really be flexible around your business plan as it relates to what your customers are saying. I think a lot of entrepreneurs, myself included certainly for the longest time, has really blinders on as they're approaching a problem that might be near and dear to their hearts, to the point where they're ignoring very obvious signs that things aren't going exactly as planned. So I think that's right. Why it's really important for all founders to really keep their ears to the ground and be very close to their customers and to really look for evidence of market validation, growth and adoption and what your customers say about your product.
It's a very good point. I think that sometimes people get away from looking at the analytics and actually believing what they're telling you. You look at them, you kind of look for what you want to see in the stats, but you don't actually realize maybe this doesn't look so good a couple of years from now. Do you do any mentoring or things with local startup guys or entrepreneurs running? I know you're obviously very busy. Do you get involved at all with people?
Yeah, definitely. I try to as much as possible. Avant is still very much growing at weed's pace, so it's difficult for me to take a lot of time out. But I'm heavily involved with FinTechs, which is a local financial services and financial technology startup group. I do some stuff with kind of newer Y Combinator and YC applicants. Always happy to kind of talk to people about my experiences there and give any advice that I can.
What would be, if you had to, speaking of advice, if you had to give one, it doesn't have to be some long sermon, if you had to give one kind of a one-liner to a guy who says, hey, I got this great idea and I want to do this and this and this, what's your one word of advice or word of caution or whatever it is?
Yeah, get something out there, prove it out, see if it works as quickly as possible. I think a lot of people really have this great idea in their head and just have no way of testing whether it works or not outside of their head. So I think the key is really to, in some form or other, test it out and make sure that other people think the same way you do.
It's a great piece of advice. Actually, I don't know if you've heard of this before, but I know a bunch of guys who were in the innovation squad that used to run between eBay and PayPal. Mm-hmm. And as everybody always kind of jokes about PayPal, they have innovation, but they don't actually make anything. It's all acquired innovation. They don't actually do it at home. They find something they want, a pain point, and then they find someone who's doing a good job of doing that, and then they acquire them, and then that's their innovation.
Right.
One of the things that I learned from those guys was they set 12 weeks. They pick a team of their engineers. They pick a team of their strategists, blah, blah, blah. And they have 12 weeks to get their product or whatever their concept is developed to an MVP and actually in the hands of whoever their intended user is to collect data. If they cannot hit the deadline, there's no excuses. Mm-hmm. It's done and they throw in the trash can.
Yeah.
I think it's every startup company that sits around is like, spinning their tires, because they don't want the no to happen.
Exactly. I think there is definitely a certain aspect of that where, before you have the answer, it could be a yes or a no.
Yeah.
After you have the answer, it might just be a no. So I think it's important for founders to really keep themselves honest and to really push towards actually getting that answer, whatever it might be.
I totally agree.
And adaptable once you have it.
Awesome. This has been a great interview. I appreciate you coming down here, John. Where do people get in touch with you about mentorship? If there's any way that people can get out, reach out to you?
Yeah, definitely. Always feel free to hit me up on LinkedIn and add me on LinkedIn. Happy to kind of accept those kind of requests.
Awesome. Very cool. Well, thank you so much. You can watch this episode and more on Advisor TV, stream us on the WGN Plus or Rivet Radio app, or download each episode on iTunes. And remember to stay connected by following us on TBT on WGN. Boom, that's a wrap.
Hi, I'm Don Bohr with 8-Bit Studios, and with me, as always, is
Brett Mackey.
Also from 8-Bit Studios.
I am.
So we're going to talk about John's son and Avant. That was a super cool thing. I loved his story. He was just saying, get out there and do it. And that's something we see all the time.
Right. Yeah. I think one of the biggest failures for most startups is they don't take that first step to actually validate the idea. And as much as you guys are coming in, people are coming in to interview us, to test our capabilities, we're actually interviewing you too. So, if you can get out there. You can do. You can put together paper prototypes. Get a notebook. Draw your app.
Yeah, just something out there that allows you to validate your own idea.
Hand it off. Someone can touch fake buttons on a piece of paper and tell you this works, doesn't work.
Yeah,
or fake it till you make it. You can make a keynote, man. Do it. Try it.
Yep, they can tell you that it sucks within like 30 seconds. It's like, I'm not going to use that. I never use that. Or they can help you pivot your idea.
Yeah, and if you don't got the time to do that or you don't want to do it, fire yourself. It's probably not a good idea.
Yeah, one of that was a cool thing about Y Combinator, and I've known a few companies to go through there now. Y Combinator is all about celebrating failure. And you know, since I've been teaching adults for the past 3.5 years, that's one of the huge things that we have a tough time breaking people away from, because they're institutionalized to think that failure is a bad thing. But you know, in business, it's all about failing quickly so you can move on to your next thing. And that's part of the, you know, just get it out there. Get it out there so you can fail quicker. The quicker you fail, the less money you're going to waste.
Right. Excuse me. Yeah, exactly. And it's at the end of the day, you know, talking about good business, like we want to make every dollar you spend the most meaningful it possibly could be. And, you know, you can be pretty autonomous early on and do something on your own without spending a single dollar. So do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, really like to thank Avant for coming back to Chicago after going out to Y Combinator. It's got to be a little tempting to stay out in San Francisco with all the sun and not come back here, but super grateful you did.
Chilly out there, but yeah, you're right.
Well, it's chilly and weird. So yeah, I'll keep it clean. Next up, we're going to have Erica Weigel. She's going to talk about metal stamping. And then we have the guys from
Tally. Yeah, these guys are letting you short guys order your drinks from the back of the room without having to fight your way up to the bar.
Yes, they're fellow short people. And
pretty sick.
Pretty awesome. Yeah, so I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you, says me, the 5'7 guy.
Ditto, 5'5. All right. All right, that's your Bite from 8-Bit Studios.